Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower. Got one more movie to review for the Midnight Movie Reviews, and we're going to do that right now. So, Colin, why don't you tell us about The Place Beyond the Pines?
Okay, well, this movie sort of tells three stories, or it's a one big story, but in three, you know, very separate chunks. The first is Ryan Gosling as a motorcycle stunt driver, motorcycle pro. Not like the guy he played in Drive, just a, you know, sort of a carnival sideshow thing, almost. He meets Eva Mendes and unknowingly fathers a child with her. And he comes back about a year later, learns of the kid, that he has a kid, and suddenly wants to be in her life and in the kid's life. But, you know, she's since moved on with another man. But Gosling insists on making a life in the small town just to be with her and the kid, but there's no work there. So he and another guy partner up to rob banks. And that sort of segues into a story about Bradley Cooper, who's a cop who is looking to advance his career. And that sort of plays into the third story about two teenagers and the differences that they have and the trouble that they get into. That sort of leads to some secrets being revealed. This is from Derek Cianfrance. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The director of Blue Valentine, and he really knows how to go for that raw intensity. Even though he casts well-known actors, you know, recognizable faces, he somehow manages to maintain an unusually high degree of authenticity in his work. You really feel like you're intruding on real people going through real problems. And I think the key to a successful movie like this is that, you know, would these individual stories work on their own if they were expanded into, you know, if they were each expanded into a feature-length film of their own? And I think the answer here is yes. The only problem with the movie is that the whole isn't quite as remarkable as the sum of the three parts. It's sort of like a movie made by Alejandro González Iñárritu, but, you know, without that sort of punch at the end. And that's a minor flaw, I think, though, because so much of this movie is so good otherwise. The performances are, you know, across the board outstanding. And in the end, you know, it's a movie about father figures or the lack thereof and, you know, the importance of having one, the devastating effect of not having one, and, you know, knowing what you know about, you know, your father, if you never knew him, does that sort of shape your destiny in a way? And as a movie about that subject, I think it works beautifully, and I highly recommend it.
All right. Eric?
There's definitely a lot to like about this movie. It's a hard film to talk about in the way that it's structured, and Derek Cianfrance is obviously very interested in sort of exploring the different ways to tell a story through time shifts. As far as the story goes, the way Colin described it, the first section with Gosling is sort of the front and center. I think is tremendous. I think Gosling is great. I think the suspense is terrific. I think the idea behind that section is really thought-provoking and really interesting. The second section with Bradley Cooper, I think, is also really quite good. I think I saw this movie at Toronto last year, and I think I saw it before I saw Silver Linings Playbook. I saw both at the same festival. Completely kind of turned me around on Bradley Cooper, and I think he's quite solid in this. And I think Ray Liotta is also hasn't been this good in a long time as he is in this movie. But then the third section of the movie is where I have serious flaws about the movie. I think what ultimately sort of happens in the third section of the movie is everything is sort of brought full circle. I think is very obvious, borderline routine in a way, in the way it plays out, very predictable, and a huge problem with the actor who plays Bradley Cooper's son in this section. For one, I don't quite understand how Bradley Cooper and Rose Byrne birthed the situation from Jersey Shore. I don't quite understand that. And the actor who plays him, I think, is awful in a very bad way. All his choices, the way he plays the role, I think it's completely casts a real dark shadow on that third section of the movie, which I otherwise definitely recommend. I mean, two-thirds of a great and really good movie certainly trump a letdown of a third act, I think. But I can definitely recommend the film.
Yeah, I'm recommending it too. I agree that the third chapter is probably the weakest of the three. This is the kind of movie that's sort of like is like kind of made for me. You know what I mean? It's a big sort of sprawling movie that has these separate stories and these characters and stuff like that. And I have a tendency to like those kind of movies, considering my favorite movie is Magnolia. I will say this. It's anytime Ryan Gosling is in a movie, he's going to be great. That's kind of it now at this point. You know? And I like Bradley Cooper after this and Silver Linings. I mean, I couldn't stand him before because of the Hangover movies and all that crap. And what was that one with him in the wasn't he in some Sandra Bullock movie where
All About Steve?
Yeah. And I just found the guy to be really annoying, but he's terrific in this movie. So all the acting is really great. I'm glad you brought up Ray Liotta. He's particularly good in this. But yeah, that third act, it doesn't work. I admire the idea, though. I think the idea of wondering what's going to happen to those characters that you saw earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea of going down some years down that road.
Certainly.
To see what happened to these two. And so I like the idea, and so it's not. I don't think it's horrible. I don't think the acting is as good in that section. And I think it kind of. I think the film has this really great build from the first story to the second story, and then the third story just kind of peters out. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the kind of Colin, like you said, it doesn't have the punch that it should have at the end. But overall, I'm recommending it. I mean, this is there's some major league acting going on here. This is if you want to watch. And I'll tell you, this guy, Derek, whatever the hell his name is,
Cian Franz,
he knows how to direct actors.
Yep. I mean,
the strength of this film and the strength of especially Blue Valentine were in the central performances. And you know, the performances that he got out of Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling and Blue Valentine are two of the best performances I've ever seen, I think, in my life. And I know that sounds crazy, but I think it's true. I think that it is two of the rawest performances I've ever seen, two of the bravest and rawest performances I've ever seen actors give in my life. And the acting in this movie is just quite as good. And Ryan Gosling, best performance in the movie, I think, in a movie full of great performances.
Mm-hmm.
It's 104.
I really yeah. like this this kid. I don't know the actor's name, the one who was in Chronicle.
Dane DeHaan
in this movie.
Oh yeah.
And I think he's really terrific, and he's starting to stand out a little bit just as an actor. But I hope he gets other roles besides a kid who has, somebody who has daddy issues.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But no, it's good. I mean, it's long. It's 140 something minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it feels a little long towards the back end. But this is a challenging movie. This is certainly a movie that you'll talk about afterwards, and because it takes risks and has some amazing performances in it, and I don't know, I'm recommending it. There's greatness in this movie. It's not a great movie, but there is greatness in it.
Yep.
So anyway, all right. That's The Place Beyond the Pines, and all three of us are recommending that. Correct?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And is that playing everywhere or just?
No, I saw it at
River East, so I don't.
It's It's playing at, I saw it at Evanston. It's playing at Landmark.
Oh, and
Century,
Landmark. So it's River East, yeah. Landmark, Century, and Evanston. Okay. If you, it's only playing at three theaters. Don't know if this one's going to open up real wide, though, right? I mean, I don't see this thing getting 3,000 screens.
Not 3,000. They might. I mean, it's being I've seen it advertised, and I think they're really pushing the Gosling and Cooper angle of it. I think it's being advertised quite kind of brilliantly. I mean, considering how the film is structured.
Right.
So
everywhere it's playing, and everywhere it's playing on like two screens. So you know, there's some belief in it.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's there's a great movie in there. It kind of fell apart towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. All right. All right. What do we got next week?
Only thing that matters next week.
What is that? That's right. Tell everybody. Give everybody information about the Chicago Film Critics Film Festival.
Okay, well, you can go to ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com, and right there you will find a list of all the movies are playing. We have three-day weekend of shorts, documentaries, features, a lot of celebrity guests, including Sarah Polley, who will be there opening night. William Friedkin will be there closing night, and will be not only signing copies of his autobiography, but presenting a 35-millimeter print of the 1977 film Sorcerer, which is a must-see if you haven't had a chance. But in between those two events that are bookending the festival, there's so many great films. There's films chosen by members of the Chicago Film Critics Association. Colin has put together two just stellar programs of shorts. Please come out and support that. And just come buy a pass for the festival. Very cheap compared to, you know, any other festival you're going to find anywhere. And you can come and you can hang out at the Movie Co. with all of us and just see movies all day. And then you can go upstairs and get a drink at Bogart's in between and then come down and see another movie. You know, there's comedies and dramas and horror movies. We got all kinds of stuff for everyone. Come and just take a chance on some really great films at the Movie Co. in Rosemont next weekend.
Yeah, so it's April 12th through the 14th, ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. Check out the program. And it's awesome that Sarah Polley's going to be there and William Friedkin and other people are going to be there as well. And this is the first film festival where all the movies were put together by Chicago film critics. They were chosen.
Yeah, and it's the first time a film critics group has ever mounted their own festival, and the Movie Co. has made this possible. And like I said, there are passes available that you can get, daily passes. There's going to be parties on Saturday and Sunday night after the movies. You can hang with some of the celebrities. Like I said, take a chance on some things that you might not be, you know, used to seeing.
Yeah.
Things that we talk about on the show with festivals and little movies all the time. Passes are available. Individual tickets are available. Passes are your best value. Just come there and hang out with us.
All right. It's going to be a good night. So, so there you go. So here's what you do. Just go to ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com, and it's at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont, which is a great place, free parking, very easy to get to, great food and drink at Bogart's. There's going to be parties and celebrities and all kinds of really great movies all weekend long at the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont, and that is April 12th through the 14th next weekend. Go to ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. Colin, where did you get some of the shorts from? How did you hunt some of these down?
A couple of them I found while going to see my movie at, you know, some film festivals, you know, playing with some short film programs and thinking, oh, that's a great movie, and remembering them when this thing came around and contacting the filmmakers and saying, hey, I saw your movie at a film festival a few months ago. I want to play it. You know, so that was part of it. And then contacting, you know, other filmmakers who had films at Sundance or South by Southwest or some other big festivals. And just saying, hey, I want to, you know, we want to see your film and see, you know, if we want to program it for our festival. And the best of all, no submission charge.
Yeah.
You know, send me your movie for free and I'll watch it and maybe we'll book it.
Yeah.
And almost every filmmaker we contacted was on board with that. I mean, it's as easy, you know, just send a video link to your short film. And then, you know, narrowing it down was pretty tough. I you know, had to reject, you know, quite a few films that I really liked. But I'm really proud of the selection that we have here, and it's an amazing collection. I can't wait to see the features that we have. I haven't seen a lot of the features that we're showing, but I mean, I've been looking at the trailers all for the past week, and I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Oh, cool. By the way, you guys are showing my friend Ryan Oliver's movie, right?
Yeah, Air Conditioned is showing Saturday at, I believe it's 1 o'clock.
Okay. 1 o'clock on Saturday.
1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon if you want to see my buddy Ryan Oliver's short film, Air Conditioned, which, by the way, is terrific.
Oh, it's great.
It's so good.
It's the last film in that block of spectacular short films in that block.
That's great.
Really excited about it.
All right, so go to ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. We'll put a link up on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/NickDShow. Check out the schedule. Get your passes and go April 12th through the 14th at the Movieco Theater in Rosemont. And by the way, Colin, was it fun watching Folktale this past Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a blast and what a crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what, your biggest crowd so far?
Our biggest crowd, yeah. I guess the Python fans just, you know, we were like, maybe we should program a Python movie every month. but they came out. And it was so great to see that movie again. I hadn't seen it in such a long time. And my God, is Life of Brian funny.
Brilliant.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, all right. So ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. And also there'll be a link on our Facebook page. And we'll find out how the Friday night went. Are you guys going to be done by midnight, right?
Maybe. We got a film at 10 o'clock after Polly's film called Grow Up Tony Phillips that 20-year-old Emily Higgins is going to be there, the subject of Zombie Girl, the documentary.
All right.
The fourth directorial feature. She's 20 years old.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, we suck. She's going to be there doing a Q&A afterwards, so we might just be getting done right around then. I might be driving home around then.
All right, cool. Well, we'll get in the movie reviews anyway, but we do have 42, the baseball movie to talk about.
Trance.
Trance comes out next week?
And Scary Movie 5.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff.
I have a feeling we're not going to get
out.
The Scary Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be busy. You're probably not going to get to Scary Movie 5. That would be my guess.
I don't think so.
All right. Okay, you guys. I will talk to you guys during the week, and definitely we'll talk to you on Friday. And
great.
We'll plug away the Chicago Critics Film Festival.
Let's do it. Come on, people.
All right, guys. Take care.
Later.
There you go. Colin and Eric, ChicagoCriticsFilmFestival.com. Check it out. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio here until 2 o'clock. And after 2 o'clock, it's Late Night with Bill Leff, and he's going to be talking about the evolution of cyber warfare. That's coming up right after the 2 o'clock news, right after my show ends. There you go. I'll be back, by the way, late tomorrow. We're probably going to get on around 10 after the Cub game. So we got a shortened show tomorrow night. We'll be on after 10 o'clock. But I'm filling in for Bill Leff Sunday night / Monday morning at 1 a.m. and Monday night / Tuesday morning at 1 a.m. while Johnny B takes a couple more days off. Bill fills in for him. I fill in for Bill. That's how it works. So I got a few more extra days this weekend that you can check it out. Always get your details at WGNradio.com. And remember, you can always get full-length podcasts now. They're always available. Nick DiGilio here on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Drunks in the News is coming up. It's brought to you by the Gale Street Inn, and we always thank the Gale Street Inn for helping us out and for being so cool. And George at the Gale Street Inn, everybody who's there, just the best place in the world. Love hanging out there, and they always sponsor the Gale Street Inn. And by the way, you could win a Gale Street Inn gift certificate if you would like to participate in Drunks in the News. Here's what you do. Drunks in the News, basically we take all these real news stories from the week that involve drunk people doing stupid stuff. We read them, we vote on which one's the best one, and you can be a part of it. If you want to read a drunk story on Drunks in the News, find a link to a funny drunk story and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. That's C-C-O-L-L-I-N-S, ccollins@wgnradio.com, and say, hey, Craig, I would like to read this on the air. He'll contact you. You'll get it together. We'll tape it, and we play it. So you get to read it on the air, and for being our drunk reader of the week, you get yourself a $25 Gale Street Inn gift certificate. And our drunk reader this week is Paul. And also, Straight Out of Context, you can participate in that too. Straight Out of Context is when you basically listen 24/7 to everybody on this radio station. Whenever anybody says something, you can pull it out of context 1 or 2 seconds long, and it sounds dirty, and it makes the inner 9-year-old and you laugh and giggle like a 2-year-old. Jot down the time, the day, who said it, and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. So anytime anybody on this radio station says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, again, jot down all the information and send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. Mark down that email address and send it out. Also, if you want to be a Nick D Show spy, once again, you listen to the radio station 24/7, and whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity on any show, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and again, send it to ccollins@wgnradio.com. C-C-O-L-L-I-N-S, ccollins@wgnradio.com. So, I don't know, Roger, I know that you watch American Idol every week.
Yep.
And I think people were kind of shocked by who got dumped last night.
I think they were shocked of the bottom two, and even more so the top three.
Well, I didn't see the results show. Somebody told me.
Okay.
And I heard who got booted, and
right.
I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to watch it now. I don't need
Well, Brunel, he did not have the best voice at all. It definitely is a girl's season.
Yeah.
They had the best voices, best singing. Your girl is still in it. When Lazaro was named as the third of the top three, I think everyone just said, well, to heck with this, because this is absolutely ridiculous. It's beyond him being this year's Sanjaya. It's beyond anything. He can't carry a tune. I think one of the reasons why he's getting so many votes is because of his speech impediment in regular life. You know, we talked about this before.
Right.
The stuttering, but he really cannot sing, but either could the other guy.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, and it was Rock and Roll Week, and neither of them was very good.
Yeah, I watched the performance
right.
the night of the performance show, but I didn't see the other one, the results show
right.
Last night. And
well, the country girl was in the bottom two with Brunel.
Okay.
What,
you mean Cree?
No. Cree was in the top three.
The blonde-haired girl.
Right, okay. Right.
All right.
They were in the bottom, and she was okay. But Brunel, you know how they have to sing for the save, which they didn't use? He was even worse than that.
Well, I mean, you know, they're clearly not going to use a save until one of the women get voted off.
That's
what, you know, I mean, like, especially like if Lazaro is in like the top three again next week, and they have to use. Well, how many are left? How many people are left now? Five.
Six.
Six are left.
Six.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if he's like in the top three next week, and they try and vote off,
one of the girls, right?
They'll clearly use the save next week. So anyway.
And it's Burt Bacharach. It's Pop Week next week.
See, you know. And is Burt Bacharach?
Burt Bacharach.
Well,
David.
That's why Dionne Warwick.
Exactly.
Is
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was on last year. And I know she's older, and her voice isn't what it used to be, but, man, last year, I don't know if you remember when she sang last year.
I remember her being on the show. I don't specifically remember whether she was bad or
yeah, anything. Remember how she could hit those higher notes when she first came out with those songs?
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Yeah. Well,
no.
Yeah, she's, Dionne Warwick, she had a lot of hits with Burt Bacharach.
A ton of hits.
Yeah, so they wrote a lot of songs for her. Well, that's what they do that every year. I think they need to shake it up. They need to, like, change.
Oh, yeah.
They need to change the theme nights. They need to change the song selections. You know, like, I mean, they do the Burt Bacharach thing every single year.
And they do the rock thing every year. They do it now.
Yeah.
They're doing the Beatles thing every year now that they got the rights to it. They do the Motown thing every year, the Detroit thing.
Yeah.
So you're right. It is. Now, the next one's going to be, you know, the year you were born, what songs were the top ones.
Yeah.
And here's the worst thing. I was saying this to my wife the other night. They're still picking the same songs every year from those sections.
Well, I've had two ex American Idol contestants on the show in the past 2 months. I've had two ex-American Idol contestants on the show in the past 2 months. And even when you audition for the first time, when you go in cold and you audition a cappella,
mm-hmm.
there's a list of songs that you have to choose from.
It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
because it's the only thing they have the rights to.
Well,
that's got to be it.
But, you know, like one of the guys who came in here, this guy Nick, who was on the show last month, said that when they were taping, they gave him like this list of songs that he was supposed to choose from. And he's like, well, I don't like any of these songs. I don't want to do any of these songs. And they were like, well, you have to choose from these songs. You can't do anything else. And so he started to sing this song. And one of the judges, this was a few seasons ago. And I think one of the judges, I think it might have been like Paula or somebody, said to him, well, you know, I got a feeling that this song's not really in your wheelhouse. Why don't you try something different? And so he's like, so one of the judges said this during his audition. He's like, all right. So he starts to sing Desperado by the Eagles.
Right.
Okay. The producers come out of nowhere. They stop taping and they say, you can't sing that song.
Obvious.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be that they don't have the rights to a lot of the music.
Yeah, I don't know. Both contestants that we've had on, both ex-contestants that we've had on the show, told us that it's a real pain in the ass, that they're real sticklers about it, and that they are given a short list of songs that they can sing.
Right.
And even but I had no idea that they did that when you went into audition.
Well, sure. If they're
acapella, the first audition you go in, you have to pick something off of their list.
Well, sure, because they're videotaping it.
Yeah, but
it could be used for broadcast, so it's got to be cleared.
Yeah. But
that I understand.
But it doesn't make it. But they when you're watching the show, it seems as though they walk in the building with a song that they want to sing.
Right.
Not that's just not the case.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You walk in, you might have prepared a song, but then they go, no, you have to choose from these songs. So let's say that you're going into audition for American Idol and you're going in on the first night to do your a cappella audition and you work for 3 weeks on this audition for one song. You've got the song down. You're nailing it. This is the song that you're going to sing in front of the judges for the first time. The minute you walk in there and they go, no, you can't have that. You have to completely re-prepare.
Yeah, totally screws them up.
Yeah. Well, Craig, what were you going to say?
I just think that this is one of many reasons why The Voice is a better show right now, just a much better singing competition and show.
Don't you think they have to have clearance for those songs too?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not saying that there's more rights. The Voice is just a better show. It's just it seems newer. It seems fresher.
Right.
It's just better.
Well, what we were just talking about was the fact that American Idol has gotten amazingly stale.
Right. Yeah, right.
That
right.
Every
right.
theme night is the same. Every song is the same. So maybe that's why obviously The Voice has a little twist going. So.
But I like The Voice.
Well, and I like
now.
The judges on The Voice too better.
Right.
I got to say that.
But I like the what do they call it? The blind auditions? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, where they turn the chairs around.
Right. That I think is cool.
That's and when everybody watches the show, yeah.
But after that, when they got the teams going against each other, the weirdest setup I've ever seen.
I think that's better right now than what Idol's doing,
which is the
50 millionth season of the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's why they've lost half their audience in the last 5 years.
And you know who has them? The Voice.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, The Voice, I don't know. Once again, the reason I watched The Voice for as many times as I did was because of Christina Aguilera's cleavage. That's the only reason I watched it.
There's twins.
It's gone now.
There's twins.
I know. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, there you go. American Idol has become dull, and we'll see what happens. The finale is in like about a month and a half, I think.
Yeah, about 5-6 weeks,
All right. Well, there you go. The phone number is 312-981-7200. We have to take a break. When we come back, it's time for Drunks in the News, which is sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet. I ate there twice this past week. Gale Street Inn. I want to thank George and everybody at the Gale Street Inn for all their support and for sponsoring this great segment that we love, Drunks in the News. Drunks in the News brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. That's coming up next.
I want to tell you a story.
That's right.
About the house in blue.
Drunk number one. Drunk number one.
She said, that don't confront me. Long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday, come out, I didn't get the
ring. A Mechanicsburg man faces charges after police say he broke into a business and drunkenly damaged the building on Thursday. Patrick C. Koch, 21, was charged with felony burglary, felony criminal trespass, misdemeanor criminal mischief, and public drunkenness after an incident at domestic casting at 12:33 a.m. on Thursday in Shippensburg Township. State police at Carlisle said that Koch entered the property while intoxicated, took a pipe, and began breaking windows in the building. He then continued through the buildings and became trapped since he was too intoxicated to find his way out of the plastic doorway. He began using the pipe to bang on the wall with a machine in a machine room and yell, "Let me out," where he was found by workers at the plant. He was arrested and arraigned in front of the district judge, H. Anthony Adams. Bail was set for $20,000 cash and was posted. A preliminary hearing has been scheduled for 9 a.m. on Monday in front of Adams.
Said I seen you today, you were standing on a corner, leaning up against a post. I said, but I'm tired.
Drunk number two, drunk number two.
Long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come out and have a rent.
A female member of the NSW Mounted Police Force is allegedly the mystery passenger on board a forklift in a late drunken rampage at Australia's agricultural showcase, the Sydney Royal Easter Show. NSW police confirmed tonight the woman officer is being investigated as being the passenger who fled the scene after she and a wood chopper took an alcohol-fueled joyride on a forklift, crashing it through the show's pavilions. The man, who had three times over the legal drinking limit, was arrested at the scene. The woman was the subject of a statewide search, and her identity had remained unknown, even to most senior police. The female police officer, who reportedly later fled the scene after her companion was caught, is a member of the world's oldest mounted police force. The NSW Mounted Police annually performs the musical ride at the Easter Show, a much-loved display of precision movements acted in time with the NSW Police Band. The drunken rampage began at around 1 a.m. on Sunday when the 27-year-old Queensland man and the woman allegedly took control of an on-site forklift. A security guard spotted them driving down an avenue of the showgrounds, formerly the 2000 Sydney Olympic site, and called for them to stop, but the forklift accelerated away and crashed into steel bollards. The guard jumped onto the forklift, removed the keys from the ignition. The driver took off through the nearby pavilions and alleyways, but was caught by the guard after a short chase. The woman fled. Police took the driver to a Sydney police station where he had a breath reading of 0.17. NSW police spokesperson told News.com that a woman who is a member of the special police unit is under investigation to the extent of her involvement of the crime. NSW Mounted Police Unit's annual display at the Sydney Royal Easter Show, according to the police website, said, has received acclaim from many overseas visitors and is considered one of the most spectacular rides in the world.
Give me a triple shot of that juice. Gonna get drunk, don't you have no fear. I want one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, one bourbon, one scotch.
Drunk number three. Drunk number three.
But I'm sitting now.
Naked. Without pants and urinating on the police station that is now Kelowna RCM, found one man early Thursday morning. The partially naked 26-year-old man was spotted by police at around 3:15 a.m. as he was urinating on the door in the lobby of the RCM Police Department. The man was found to be grossly intoxicated and spent the night behind bars. He was issued a ticket and a fine for public urination, then released once he was sober. A biohazard cleaning company was called in to make sure that the area was made safe for the general public.
Drunk number four. Drunk number four
is our friend Paul. Let's hear what Paul has to say.
Good evening. This is Paul with Drunks in the News. Drunk bareback Romeo, facing jail for riding horse into house to impress girl. You're out drinking with friends, trying to hatch a clever plan to impress a girl. What do you decide? Strip off and ride your horse into her front room, of course. Love-struck Pole Jan Rudnicki, 40, came up with his foolproof idea while in a bar in the town of Jarnoltoqua, while chatting to friends about the best way to impress eligible divorcee, Josiah Domoslawska, 36. Friends said when Jan first suggested his bizarre plot, they thought he was joking. But then he went outside, climbed onto his horse, which he'd ridden to the pub, and set off bare-breasted and bare-backed, Mirek Nowak explained. The next thing we knew, he'd been arrested. Not quite pretty woman. Anyway, unfortunately, the old romantic's attempts appeared to fall on deaf ears when Josiah called the police and called him a loon after he'd ripped off her front door. I was at home watching TV with my daughter when I heard this deafening crash, and suddenly this half-naked man on a horse appeared in my front room, she said. I never fancied him before, and I certainly don't now. If this was supposed to win my heart, he must be seriously off his rocker. The dad of seven has since apologized and offered to repair the damage. A police spokesman appeared to be equally unforgiving of poor old jilted Jan, adding, smashing into someone's home uninvited is a crime, and he will be punished for it. And this is Paul with this week's installment of Drunks in the News.
All right, we got to vote. We got the naked guy who's half naked on the horse busting into the house. We've got the female cop and a drunk wood chopper on a forklift. We got the drunk guy who was trapped inside a business while busting out windows. And we got a guy who urinated on the front steps of a police department. And go ahead.
I'm going Paul.
Okay, Paul, the drunken horse rider.
Yep.
Okay.
All these years, I don't think we've ever had one before. That's a first. Drunken, naked horse rider.
All right, I'm with you, too. That's a good one.
That's our winner. Paul gets himself a gift certificate to the Gale Street Inn.
Same bad time, same bad channel. Next week for
Drunks in the News.
Brought to you by the Gale Street Inn. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, cause Ice Cube is crazy as F bomb. All right, what do we got this week?
We have five this week. The first one comes from Wild Bill, and it's Gary Meyer.
Why would you put that in your pie hole?
The next one's from Chris, and it's Gary Meyer.
I'm not putting my hand down there.
From Chris, Gary.
Little BJ there.
Yeah. From Big Toe, this is Bill Leff, actually.
We'll pull it out in just a little bit.
And finally, this was also from Chris. It's Johnny B. and one of his guests, Jeff Moreau.
It's about 10 inches long.
I love stuff like
that. And
it
is just oozing.
There you go.
All right there. Those are good ones. All right.